Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And once you get your Bibles open and leave them open, I'm going to already let you know tonight is part one. Next week will be part two, the second part of this. I can't teach it all in one lesson. This one's too big. This is one of those recipes that going to take a little while to get through, but I promise it'll be helpful to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I want you to follow along with me. Look at verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11. These things, notice the next two words, command and teach, all right? Notice those two words, command and teach. Actually, three words, I get it. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying hands of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now look at me. Tonight I'm going to start, and I'll finish next week, the recipe, one of which I am commanded to teach. Verse number 11 says, these things command and teach. So I am commanded, you're commanded, but I'm also commanded to teach it, but you're also supposed to teach it. So it's not something just I'm supposed to command and teach. I am to teach you to do the same. Now, this is not a suggestion. It's not just a better way to live. It's not a trick or a key. It's something that God said, you must have this in your life if you're going to be a good example. Now, we are not to let the world or other Christians look down on us for living the way God wants us to live. Can I tell you something? Pick your chin up and keep your head high and say, I'm a Christian, and don't be ashamed of it. We live in weird worlds. You know, the people with red and purple hair and blue hair, they look at us and say, boy, you're weird. Have you ever seen the way they look? You know, the people with tattoos on their eyebrows, and they look like they got in a fight with a tattoo gun and lost. I mean, they got them everywhere. Recently, in the last couple years, one of the big name Fruit Loop weirdo rock and roll kind of person, I don't even know who, some chick, she got tattoos everywhere. She decided to get her actual eyeball tattooed, and she went blind because of it. You know, go figure. She actually wanted the white on her eye tattooed, and she lost her vision, and she said, well, it's worth it. And I'm thinking, you really, you know, she's got her tongue, she had her tongue cut to where it looks like a snake, and it's forked and everything. Folks, they're the ones that call us weird. Now, just something's not right with that mess. You don't have to be looked down upon for being a Christian. Bible says, command and teach, and let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Now, if you're afraid to say, I'm a Christian, it's because you're not living the Christian life. Seriously. Did you know that I don't worry about telling people I'm a Christian? You say, well, you're a preacher. I know that. But usually they figure it out before I get too far. I had to talk to someone this week. I had to talk to a doctor this week. Not about myself. Don't worry. Everything's all right. Not about my wife or my family. It was something totally unrelated. And I was working with this doctor on helping someone in our church. And I said, I appreciate the time that you're giving me to help this person. And they said this, Pastor, if more doctors and more pastors would work together, we could help more people. And I thought, wow, that's a doctor I could recommend folks going to see. That person's got it down right. And they were able to help us and get things rolling with somebody that needed help. Now, can I say something? You're not supposed to be ashamed to be a Christian. matter of fact, that doctor said to me on the phone this week, they said, I wish more pastors had enough sense to get involved in people's lives. And I said, well, I don't know how much sense I have, but I am willing to get involved. Now, we're not to be ashamed of living the Christian life. God says, but be thou an example. The word example, this is going to work on your vanity. The word example means model. All right? It means a role model or a model, or it is the figure at which others should copy. That's what God says you're commanded to do, listen, and you're commanded to teach. You're not supposed to just live it. You're to teach somebody else by the example you set, as well as you're to teach it. It's one thing for me to live the Christian life, but I'm supposed to teach somebody else how to live the Christian life. Right. If we don't teach it, how are they going to do it? Oh, we're just supposed to live it. And people should run up and say, what must I do? Right. It doesn't happen that way. So God says we're supposed to be an example. And I'm going to give you the 10 ingredients that go into being an example and give you the recipe next week. Are you ready? Let me list the 10 things here real quick. The ingredients are be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We're supposed to give attendance to reading, give attendance to exhortation, give attendance to doctrine, and neglect not the gift that is in us. Those are the 10 things that we're going to talk about, and I'll wrap it up next week for you. But let me just jump right into these. God says, first of all, be an example in word. Now, let me say it this way. Did you know that people should know that you're a Christian? It's called your testimony. Somebody once said, if you went to court for being tried as a Christian, would they find you guilty? There are people who are afraid. They live one way at church and another way everywhere else because they're ashamed to say, well, I go to church, I'm a Christian. God says that our words should be an example as a believer. It says in word. Now, that means this. We ought to guard our words. We should not say, we should not get near, we shouldn't laugh at and listen to vulgar things. You can't always not hear what somebody says, but you don't have to laugh at sinful things. Everybody doing okay? God says our words give us away. We ought not have, I think this is an appropriate term, we ought not have potty mouth. Too many. I'm not going to say who just elbowed somebody else. I'm not, Mike. I'm not. sorry, I saw that. It just cracked me up. We ought to be careful of our words that we use. We should not be using the world's terminology for things. Sometimes we substitute curse words for other words that are in reference to. We ought to be careful. I mean, if I'm really upset, my wife knows I'm mad if I say Southern Baptist. I mean, that's a cuss word at my house. It's got to be pretty bad. You say, why? Because it's about as we think. We just don't talk that way around our house. I don't talk that way in general. Now, we should use our words. Did you know the English language is one of the most beautiful languages there is? It's one of the most complex languages. I'll give you that. But it's one of the most beautiful languages, and we are destroying it in America. People that don't use good grammar drive, it grates at me. Now, I don't always use perfect grammar in the pulpit. I understand that. But I do it by choice, not because they don't know better. I have a minor in college in English grammar. I have been involved in proofreading for about 20 years. I understand English grammar better than average. There's probably not many people in this church that could even keep up with me on grammar. Trust me. Say why? Because I study words. I study how words are put together. I understand English grammar. When I went off to Bible college, I tested out a bonehead English, by the way. That means English 100, no credit English. You had to pass a test, and if you didn't pass that test, you had to pay for a class that you didn't get credit for and pass it till you could take class English for credit. I won't ask who had to take that. But, no, he passed out of it. I think he passed out of 101, too. Yeah, he went two levels ahead. You say, why? Because they had to talk right at home. He was thankful for it when he got to college. Now, wait a minute. I sat in my first English class, English 101, Mrs. Flesher was teaching. We got through the first day. I got through the second day. It was a three-hour class, going through the third day, and every time she asked a question, man, I'm psh, 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 psh. And she said, Mr. Bush, could you stay after class? There's about 40 of us in that classroom, and for some reason, I was in a classroom that had about 10 girls in it and 30 guys, and 25 of the 30 guys were former pastors that were taking pastor's refreshers course. So I'm in a room with guys 10, 15, 20, 25 years older than me taking English. And she said, Mr. Bushy, you seem to know English grammar pretty well. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I had that book last year in high school. She said, you did? I said, yeah, and you don't know my English teacher, Mrs. Hartline. Trust me. She said, do you understand sentence analysis and diagramming? I said, yes, ma'am. She pulled a sentence out. She said, can you analyze and diagram that for me real quick? And I looked at it and said, yes, ma'am. And she went, can you do that sentence? I said, sure. And it happened to be a complex sentence, two independent clauses. You got to connect it and like that. She said, next week, can you start helping me teach English? I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm intimidated by all these men that are former pastors. I don't feel comfortable. She said, I'll explain the lesson and I'll split the class. You can talk to the men. I'll take the girls and you can answer the questions and help the men. I said, sure, no problem. So for the rest of the semester, I taught English grammar. I took English 102. Guess who my teacher was? Guess who was in English 102 with me? The same group of guys. Guess who taught English 102? And I was 18 years old. I understand English grammar. You'd be surprised how many sermons I have preached based off of English grammar. If you listen to my preaching, I follow the Bible as God wrote it and understand it that way. So our words are important. We shouldn't use words of Hollywood. Shouldn't use words from the rap and the rock musicians. We ought not talk loosely. We ought not curse and use crude words. Did you know cursing's cursing? He said, well, I only say a few of them. Okay, but we shouldn't say any. We ought not tell worldly jokes. Now, if you want to tell a joke about Nancy Pelosi, that's fine. That is a joke. You know, she is one. It's okay. But I think that we ought to be appropriate with our joking. We are to be an example in word. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, number two. In conversation, we ought to be an example. The word conversation isn't you and somebody else talking. It's your manner of life. Let me rephrase that. It's your manners of life. In other words, we ought to be an example by saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I still believe that children ought to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I believe in it. If we ever start a Christian school, the kids will say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, in school every day. Say why? Because that's what they're supposed to do. It's respect. I believe that they ought to say please and thank you. I believe we adults ought to say it. Everybody doing all right? Did you know it won't hurt you to say, well, yes, sir? And do me a favor. Quit being so arrogant. Well, that's my dad, not me. How about you let somebody respect the way they should? If they call you sir, it's out of respect. You ought to let them show respect. I say that. I have business people all the time. I'll say yes, sir, or no, no, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They'll say, you're older than I am. Doesn't matter. My son's 28 years old, and I still answer him that way. I answered my children, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, as they were growing up. If I expected them to do it to me, I ought to do it to them too. I believe in it. When our bus kids are here, they'll answer me. I'll make sure they say yes, sir, or no, sir. Say why? Because I think they need to learn that respect. If we don't teach it, who's gonna? These are the kindnesses of living and expressing those kindnesses. We have to teach boys to hold the door open for girls. I think a young lady ought to say thank you as they walk through. I went to Bible college. There's times, you know, you get stuck and here comes 100 girls out of one class and you're thinking, oh Lord, where's another guy? You know, can I get out? You know, and I've stood there and hold the door for 100 girls to walk through. 98 of them would say thank you on the way through. I was working security. We were already married. I was working security, and I'd get stuck holding doors or something. And this one girl, every time she came through, she'd grunt. She wouldn't even say hello. And one day, she caught me on a bad day, and I said, you're welcome, real loud. She turned around and said, I didn't say thank you. I said, you never do. So I figured I'd say you're welcome anyway. You say, you didn't say that. Yes, I did. No, it wasn't Mrs. Lopez. I had to say it. But you say, why'd you do that? I was trying to teach her some manners. By the way, yeah, the next time she came through the door, guess who said thank you? I embarrassed her in front of enough people to where she got the point real fast. Now, it's your conversation is the decency in which you live. We ought to live decently. We ought to live. Christians ought to be held to a different level. We are children of the King. We ought to act like it. My truck's having some work done. Got a hole in the radiator. Had to have a new radiator put in. Well, come to find out, whoever had the truck before I did put two electric fans on it and took the clutch fan out. And the fan broke they put a clip in there, and they screwed it in and sealed it up. So that thing broke, so it was leaking there. And then when it broke, the fan running tore up the radiator. Brilliant. And I'm not kidding, whoever wired it, I could wire it better than they did. And that's not saying a whole lot. It was bad. So I'm waiting on a clutch fan to come in. They're going to put it in right. And I had some things in my truck I needed because Josh and I are going to go out about 4:30 tomorrow morning and try to shoot a turkey. Well, all my turkey hunting stuff's in the back of my truck. And I thought, ooh. So I called. I said, is that thing going to be in the shop or on the parking lot? Well, probably leave it in the shop. I said, I need to stop by. I walked in the shop with this suit on. He said, what were you doing? I was stuffing stuff in my backpack and got hunting clothes. And I pulled them out, and the mechanic looked at me, and he knows me. And Greg's, I said, call balance. I said, turkey season's only open till Monday. He said, ah, okay. He said, good for you. He said, somehow I just didn't picture you in camo, but he said, I'm glad. I said, why don't you picture me in camo? He said, because you're the preacher. He said, doesn't the Bible say thou shalt not kill? I said, also says arise, kill and eat. I said, you're not supposed to kill people, not animals. He said, good point. Here we go. Oh, wait a minute. There's a decency at how we live. So be an example in conversation. Number three, an example in charity. The word charity is the word love. Not the feelings of love. The word charity means the giving of love. If you are going to give money to your favorite charity, it's because you're giving to it that it's charity. Does that make sense to everybody? The word charity is the word love. Now, it's the word agape, not phileo. Phileo is the tingly, sensual type love. Agape love is the love by which God loves us, whether we love him or not. God says we're supposed to be an example in loving people. This is not only how we love, but what we love. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John just a few pages over too. This one's going to hurt. Are you ready? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you love your car more than you love the things of God, you have a problem. Some of you will get more upset over a scratch in your car than you will somebody dying and going to hell. Ouch. Some of you love your toys and your things. You'll spend more on things that you break that are toys than you will what you do for God. You'll go into debt for things you don't need but you want. But boy, is it hard to... It's hard to tithe, preacher. Everybody doing okay? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love your things more than you love the Lord, you're not being an example of charity. We are supposed to love when people don't love us. Somebody called me this week and they were struggling. Matter of fact, it was today they called me. And they said, I think I know what you're going to say, preacher, but I just need you to kick me in the backside. I said, okay. Got permission. That's not often. And somebody had done wrong to them and I said, so you don't trust them? I get that. But you're still supposed to do good. I said, you overcome evil with good. I said, now, the Bible doesn't say you do good to the evildoer. It just says you overcome evil with good. I said, by you doing good, even though somebody's attacking you, guess what? You'll win. I said, sometimes doing good to someone who has done you evil only brings more attack. I said, avoid that for right now. We'll get to that later. I said, but you can love them by doing good to somebody else today. I said, go out, do good to somebody today other than that person. Oh, that makes sense. I said, yes, it does. That's scriptural. Say, what is that? That's learning to love your enemy. My enemy could walk through either of these doors. My enemies could walk in. I'll walk up. I'll shake their hand. I'll introduce them. And you'll never know they're my enemy. We've had them here. And you didn't know it. You thought they were bosom buddies of mine. And they're people that have tried to slander and smear me everywhere. So why do you do that, preacher? Because I love them. They don't have to be loving me for me to love them. I can love without being loved back. That's what God wants. Everybody doing okay? Number four, be an example in spirit. Now, everybody look at me. This word spirit is not what you think. Be careful if you look it up with liberals because they'll tell you it's your soul. God made man body, soul, and what? Spirit. The spirit and the soul are not the same thing. My soul is what is talking to you right now. My soul is my personality. My soul is that which allows me to communicate with our fellow person. But my spirit, if we're unsaved, man has a dead spirit. Turn to John chapter 3. Let me show you what I mean. Wow, I couldn't do that again if I tried. I turned to it in one swatch. John chapter 3, and I didn't have it marked, by the way. John chapter 3, and I'm going to run through this very quickly here. Look at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now watch this. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the what? Okay, small s or capital S? Okay, so that capital S is in reference to what? The Holy Spirit of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now watch this. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S? Yes. Is Spirit, capital S? No. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Look at me. When a person gets saved, a lost person has a body and a soul, but they have a dead spirit. What gets born again is the Spirit in man by the Holy Spirit of God. When a person says, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell, I need a Savior, I'll trust Jesus as my Savior, the new birth is that a man's spirit is reborn in him by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit seals himself in us to keep us alive. He keeps our spirit alive. That's what regeneration is, or regeneticizing. Being regenerated or regened is what that term means. And our spirit is born by the Holy Spirit of God. Whew. That is what salvation is. It is the new birth. What is birth? My body was already birthed. My soul was already birthed. But I needed a spiritual birth. So man's spirit, by the way, it is by the Spirit that we communicate with God. My soul does not communicate with God. My spirit communicates through the Holy Spirit. He runs to our side. He goes to the Father for us. And he beseeches the Father for us. My spirit is that which allows me to communicate to God because it's born of God by the Holy Spirit of God. He is God. Now, watch this. This means we are to be an example of letting the Holy Spirit control and guide our life. This isn't a matter of having a good personality. It is a matter of having the Holy Spirit control us. This is the Spirit-controlled disposition. This is the Spirit-controlled will that acts and does not react. Oh, there are times I want to react. And I have to say, Holy Spirit, control me before I come unscrewed. You say, you have to do that, preacher? Yep, I got flesh like you. There's times I want to pop off and say something to somebody, and I go, I shouldn't do that. Holy Spirit, help me. There are times people press and push, and I'm like, I'm not going to react. I'm going to act the way the Lord wants me to act. Do I want to act that way? No. There are times I have to put on the Spirit of God and let Him work through me. That's being an example of the Spirit. Now, watch this. This is us living and behaving the way God commands us by the Bible. How do you love your enemy? By being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't do that naturally in your flesh. Somebody that hates you, you don't normally love them. Somebody who has tried to slander you, destroy you, tried to destroy your family, you don't naturally love them. Trust me. When they try to burn your house down, you don't like them. When they write four-letter words, thankfully most of my enemies aren't real smart, but when they write four-letter words all over your vehicle, you really don't want to love them. But you have to have the Holy Spirit control you to do that. Sometimes you have to be kind even when you don't want to. There are times people come to me and their life is, they're all distraught and they tell me what the problem is. And I want to laugh at them because to me it's too simple. But to them it's overwhelming. And I can't sit there and say, well, you think you have problems, you ought to be sitting where I'm at night right now. I got this problem. That's not helping anybody. I've got to put my problem aside and make their problem as big as my problem. That's called being kind. Do I always feel like doing it? No. But I must. Folks, it's yielding to the Spirit and yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit control and will you to doing the things you're supposed to do. Well, I won't go soul winning because God didn't call me to be a soul winner. No, you're right. He didn't call you. He didn't call me. He commanded us. You don't need a call when you got a command. If you go into the military and you go to basic training, you don't wait for the call to go to PT. You're commanded. Trust me. So why are we waiting to be called to do certain things? We ought to do that which we're commanded to do. Boy, that's a good statement. That's called being a good example, and I've got to hurry number five. I want to spend time there, but I won't. Number five, be an example in faith. The word faith is the word dependence. Our dependence on God and God's words. Faith is not blind foolishness. Let me say that again. Faith is not blind foolishness. Oh, you just got to have a faith. You just got to believe and God will take care of it. Oh, I've been around these healers, feelers, and squealers enough to know that. Well, you can just believe God and your cancer is going to go away. Well, you can believe all you want, but your cancer may not go away. They always say, well, they didn't have enough faith. Well, you can believe all you want that my keys aren't going to fall and hit the ground, but guess what? You drop them, there's another law stronger than your belief. It's called gravity. There are some things you're not going to change just because you believe it's going to change. That's called power positive thinking. Or power positive stinking, whichever you prefer. It really does not matter what you believe. It's what you're depending on. That's what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar. We will not bow to the false God. Our God will deliver us. But if not, he's still God, King, and we're still going to obey him. They didn't know how God was going to deliver them. It may have been by death. They watched other people die with the furnace, They got pushed into the furnace. I can imagine them going, okay, I'm still hearing things. Fellas, you there? Yeah. Are you hot? No. What's wrong? I don't know. Open your eyes. Man, there's fire all around. Then they hear Nebuchadnezzar hollering, come on out, fellas. They're thinking, man, my coat's off and chains are off, but I didn't even get a suntan. And they walked out of that fire. Did they have faith? Our God will deliver us. But if not, there's always doubt in faith. It's not some blind foolishness. Well, I'm going to close my eyes and walk across Route 9. God's going to protect me. I'm going to show you my faith. You're an idiot. Yeah, make sure you pay your tithe before you do that, all right? Is your life insurance paid so your wife can tithe, all right? Stupid people that, well, that's living by faith. No, that's blind foolishness. I've been in churches where the pastor said, well, we're going to have a give it all Sunday. Now, I'm not saying it's sinful, but you're going to promise God you're going to give your entire paycheck for a week. And you're going to live by faith. God's going to provide your paycheck and make it up. Well, I hate to tell you, but that's you asking all of your creditors to live by faith, not you. I will never ask you to do that in this church. Everybody doing okay? I think it's foolish. I shouldn't ask your mortgage company or the electric company or your water and sewer company to live by faith because I think you need to give more money to the church. I just believe if we all do our part the way God commanded, he takes care of the rest. Amen. I've seen him do it. I don't have to have... We've built this building, we bought this land, and we didn't have a give it all Sunday. Say, how'd you do it? Asked everybody to give what they could, give the way they should, and God takes care of the rest. Yes, sir, he does. And guess what? He did. Now, we are to be an example in our faith. This is doing all God... My definition of faith is this. You do everything you can do, hang on, God will take care of the rest. The key to that is hang on. I've been to the end of the rope many a time. Guess what? Somehow, that rope keeps going. I've been at the end of the limb, crawled out on the edge, and somebody's cut it off. But God seems to always catch me on the way down. I can't explain it all, but I know this. I'll do everything I can, and God kicks in the rest. This is not spending money foolishly and expecting God to bail you out. You go max out 2, 3, 4, 5 credit cards and say, well, God, you're going to have to provide my needs. He did. You used it all in credit. Well, I have more credit limit. Just because you have a credit limit doesn't mean you have money. It means you're going to lose more money. It's an orderly obedience to the Bible and a confident trust that God's going to do the rest. Faith is an orderly obedience to the Bible and confidence God will make up what you cannot do. Yeah. 13 banks to get a loan for this. And I had to push and 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 push. I said, how are you going to pay it back? I'm going to pass the plate every service once and that's it. Try explaining that to a banker. Well, churches aren't good secure loans. Well, look who they're giving money to right now, all their secure loans. Say, how's God do that? By faith. I didn't fall off the pickup truck full of manure and hit myself in the head with a shovel on the way down. I knew God would do. By the way, that's why we built a building on property that we could pay for by the offerings that we had when we built it, not what we were hoping to get. I didn't take us so far in debt. We didn't build a $3 million complex. Say why? Couldn't afford it. Well, if you build bigger and nicer buildings, more people will come. Well, they can come in this one till we fill it up, and then we'll take their money and build the next one. I'm not worried about it. I'm just here to reach people, not their wallets. I don't look at any of the giving. Don't touch it. Don't pay attention. I couldn't tell you what you give. I know my wife and I give, and that's it. I just ask God to take care of what we cannot do. That's what faith is. I must quit. We're halfway through. So God says we're supposed to be a role model to the believer in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. And those are the five that we got through tonight. We'll start with the others next week and finish it up. I promise you, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, what kind of example are we being in those areas? Is there an area we touched on tonight that you need to work on? Maybe there is.